Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, my beloved. Welcome back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. I am your intuitive nourishment guide today and every episode. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If this is your first go at a moon musing and this podcast, there's lots for you here. We are at episode 276. I cannot believe how crazy high that number seems for me. It just seems like yesterday that I started this podcast, although it's been a lot longer than that. And there's a lot for you here. You can even utilize this podcast feed as sort of an oracle, a divination, spin your wheel kind of situation, and just sort of tune into what messages are available to you with each episode. So recommend you check those out. Today, we are tuning into this Gemini full moon. And can I just say, happy Sagittarius season. It's feeling really good. I'm a Sag rising. I'm feeling the fire. I'm feeling the support and love. And I love Scorpio season and your medicine, but honestly, it's been really fucking intense. And I know that for so many people, it's kind of nice to have this shift in energy. So while we absolutely honor and need this medicine to go deep into the depths of the shadow work, right? And to work with all of the wounding that is beneath the surface that needs to come up and rise. Like, that's absolutely required work. But we need it in pulses, right? In rhythm. It's not sustainable to stay in certain energetics 100% of the time, which is the intelligence of nature and the cosmos with all of these cycles and seasonality. And that goes with your own life as well. Before we get into this moon musing, and speaking of Gemini and a lot of the themes that we're going to be touching on within this episode, I've been receiving quite a few emails and people reaching out to me inquiring if there's more space availability for Akashic soul record readings. I have, in response, opened up some more slots. So I have more slots now available. If you are interested in a one-on-one private Akashic soul record reading, hopping on Zoom with me and we're jamming on all soul level inquiries. But I also have created a new offering that I'm really excited about and I think that will really serve you. And these are called Awaken and Align Akashic soul record readings for the journey ahead. This is for you if you want something that gets straight to the point and is asynchronous. So this is a pre-recorded 30-minute reading, intuitive reading, and channeling that specifically focuses on supporting you through your awakening and alignment process as you move into the new year. I will open up your Akashic soul records, as well as work with your human design to receive intuitive channeled insights related to your unique path, and then send you a link with a recording and a photo of any cards that I might have pulled or relevant information within that the weekly block that you select. So optional themes for the reading, and you get to select one. And so again, this is an Awaken and Align Akashic soul record reading for your journey ahead into 2024. The three different themes include: number one, identify core wounds and how to alchemize your greatest challenge in this time. Number two, awaken your intuitive gifts for the journey ahead. And number three, aligning with your purpose and soul path. The way this works is you'll go onto my scheduling page, select the week, select a week within my calendar that is open. And in that week, you will receive a recorded reading via email. There's a little questionnaire that you'll need to fill out for me to get basic information in order to do the Akashic reading for you. And then when your week comes, you will receive an email with that intuitive channeled insight. I'm really, really excited to do this for you. This is something that's been kind of brewing for me. And these three themes and topics have been the top three that continue to come up in almost every single Akashic Soul Record reading I do. So again, awaken and align for 2024. Select your favorite theme. Identify core wounds and alchemize them. Awaken your intuitive gifts for the journey ahead and aligning with your purpose and path. I would be so honored to support you in that way. You can go over to wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records, and I will have both options, selecting a one-on-one private reading with me over on Zoom or the Awaken and Align pre-recorded Akashic channeling option. Excited to dive in with you as we move forward into this new year. All right, so let's get on with this episode. So here we are, Sagittarius season. We moved into Sag season November 22nd. So from those depths of the shadow into the expansive realms of Sagittarius, optimism, adventure, learning, teaching. There's so much more with the energetics with Sagittarius that I'll talk about in a moment. I'm really feeling this energy of the Phoenix. It's not that the work is done, the shadow work is done. There clearly is still a lot of intensity. There is a lot to contend with, to work with, to show up for personally and globally. But we can come with a different energetic frequency or backbone, if you will. The background music has shifted a little bit. And this is Phoenix energy. This is the Temperance card. So moving out of Scorpio, the season of death and transformation and then rebirth and rebirth into Sagittarius season, when we look at the tarot and the major arcana, there are three lines to the major arcana. And moving through the second line, which is what I feel collectively we have been doing, that chrysalis going into the mush, turning into black gooiness, doing the excavation work, and the card that precedes the Temperance card, which I feel is so connected to this season, is the Death card. So we have to move through the Death card in order to get to Temperance. And that's at the very end of the second line of this major arcana, which is this journey of the chrysalis, before we dive into the next level of transformation, of awakening, of an evolutionary process, and coming to, quote, know thyself in a higher way from a higher perspective. And in doing so, being able to look at the world with the eyes of God, so to speak. That came up in an actual reading recently for community member insight of the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. That's my 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and mastermind program. And we have bi-weekly Akashic Q&A group calls. These are so medicinal. These are one of my favorite things to do. It's all of us coming online, jamming together, reading each other's Akashic records. I'm channeling for people who submit their questions. And there have definitely been themes. So with each one, there are themes that come through. And it's kind of like a mini pulse, a microcosmic view of what is happening macrocosmically, especially for intuitives and highly sensitive people, because that's basically who's inside of this group, a group of heart-centered, wild-hearted healers. And so kind of get a sense and a pulse for what's going on a maybe larger scale. And this has been coming up, this move into the shift into a new chapter, new energetics, taking what we have learned, what we have excavated, what we have worked through, that very deep, deep work, and not being done with the work, but like now taking what we have learned and bringing it to new heights and bringing some fire energy to that. So that's why I think about this phoenix that has this rebirth process and born through fire. So we're moving out of the death card, which for some of us, we're still very much in the death card, like working through letting things go, transmuting things, composting, so that we can utilize that for nourishment for this next step in our lives. Globally, I think we're still very much in sort of a death season, unfortunately, like with so much that's going on, unearthing a lot of these deep ancestral wounds. I mean, just obviously looking at the whole Palestinian Gaza situation and the incredible, gosh, amount of divisiveness and like horrific acts of violence. I mean, it's hard to talk about, but it's something that we all have to look at and come to terms with, because this is coming to terms with what is actually happening on a larger scale. That kind of violence, the unfathomable events and acts of violence that occur, those are not isolated. We see this happening in so many parts of the world. It may not get airtime, but there is so much that is so incredibly heartbreaking that is happening all over the world, in your own backyard. So yes, it's important to speak out on the issues that you feel called to show up for, to be a voice, to take action. But it's also acknowledging that this is part of a much larger issue that is pervasive throughout the world. And that's what Scorpio season, that's what the death card, it's like calling us to look at this truth and this continuation of looking at truth with Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter and all about truth seeking and the law and truth and freedom. So coming back into Temperance card, this has been coming up a lot lately for my clients, my private clients and my members inside of WIP. Temperance card is ruled by Jupiter. It's all about expansion, expanding into a new level, a new way of being, a new chapter. The energy of fire, of course, connected to Sagittarius. But the Temperance card is also this acknowledgement. Like when you fully come into Temperance, you acknowledge that you are not here alone and you're not meant to do this thing alone. And you're not meant to do it through your ego. And when I say this thing, I mean this thing called life and moving forward in the highest and most aligned way and in service to your community, your family, your loved ones, but also the greater global community. Temperance is acknowledging that there is this spiritual world. There is God, source, creator, spirit. There is the lineage of our well ancestors. There are the spirit guides. There are angels. There are these benevolent, supportive beings in the unseen realms that we must collaborate with to move forward in the highest way. Whether or not you believe in that, you know, believe in them, it's happening. Like they're helping you out. But there's something about a flip in consciousness and consciously collaborating with, calling in the support of the unseen supporters, the guides and those that are here to help us out and want just as much as you heart-centered folks to bring healing, deeper healing to the world in support of our collective evolution. Temperance is like, we cannot move into this next line of the major arcana, into true awakening and evolutionary process, unless we acknowledge the web that we are a part of and that we're not alone. We're meant to call in our support, our unseen support. So that's what I'm really feeling for all of us collectively in this time. That's been a theme that's been coming up. We have Mars that entered Sagittarius also November 22nd, and that journeys through the sign until January 4th of 2024. So while we had the intensity and the depth of the eclipse season, we're still feeling the effects of that. We're starting to feel a little bit of the lift when we start moving toward the end of November and into the later months and into the end of the year, the Gregorian calendar year. But as Mars moves through Sagittarius, there's an extra punch of fire, right? There's this embrace of the unknown and the adventure of life. There's a even more energy toward expansion, but with this like vision, the arrow that Sagittarius holds, you know, Sagittarius with the archer holding this bow and arrow, taking its time and focusing where it's going to point that arrow, and Mars really lighting a fire behind that to move beyond the limitations and the boundaries that maybe were set for you in some way and into a higher vision. Sagittarius is all about freedom and flight in that sense. Also spontaneity. But alongside that, as I had mentioned, the law and truth. There's a shadow side to Sagittarius as well. As much as I wouldn't want to admit it, being a Sag rising, Sages can get into dogma and religious fanaticism. And unfortunately, I have experienced that myself, getting into a little bit of dogma as it pertains to health and food, especially when I started getting into this work. For those of you who aren't familiar, I'm a clinical nutritionist and a licensed dietitian. So I worked in the clinical side of things for a very long time. I came into that work as a holistic health coach. And my initiation into all of that was my mom's journey with breast cancer and her ultimate passing. So she died of cancer and of complications in 2010. And that was my initiation, journeying with her, supporting her through her dis-ease process and ultimate passing, and then finding my own place with my relationship with food and health. So I got into holistic health, the holistic healing realms in that way. And in the beginning, I was dogmatic. I thought that all these new things that I was learning about natural healing and holistic health were the truth. And that's kind of the dark side of Sagittarius. Like, there's this fire that was lit up in me. There was sincere intentions for healing and for the greater good. Like, there was good intentions behind it, but there was dogmatism and fanaticism. And so that dogma and religious fanaticism, we see that playing out in so many different areas throughout the world. Sagittarius flipped that into the lighter side of Sag. It's all about looking at how can we step into a higher level of consciousness and perception when it comes to beliefs and so-called truth and truth seeking. And are we operating from our ego, or are we operating from higher mind? Mind with a capital M, as in plugged into the collective field or mind, or the mind of God, like whatever you want to call it. The ego, you can be sure that the ego is involved if you are hearing or feeling, I am right and you are wrong. I am right and you are wrong. This binary misperception that there is a definitive right and wrong. Now, of course, there are, we could say, natural laws and moral laws that we play by as humans, we live by, and that a lot of these laws are broken by people, and we see a lot of devastation from that. But that's different than picking and choosing a certain orientation and deciding that that's the only and right way. That turns into dogma. So there's something here about paying attention to how we might fall into the trap of dogmatism and fanaticism in the name of good. Because we can have these really beautiful, good, heart-centered intentions, but then our ego kind of mutates how it's expressed. So we want to make sure that we're always assessing and putting our ego in check, assessing like our perception and where are we moving from and through what lens are we looking at each situation. We have 6 planets in mutable signs during the full moon. Mutable signs are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. Mutability, this is being chameleon-like, adaptable. I have a lot of mutability in my chart. I have a lot of Gemini, Sagittarius. I can be adaptable. I can be chameleon-like. But there can also, the downside to this at times can be that you might lose your sense of self in that as well. And you might experience like you're feeling like you're all over the place, or others might experience you like you're all over the place. So paying attention to the quality of this, it might feel a little bit scattered. While there could be benefit with like being adaptable to the situation and being able to understand like where people within that particular frequency are coming from, and relating to them, there is also the potential to lose yourself in that, or just maybe a sense of a scattered mindedness, especially with Gemini having so much to do with the mind and thoughts. We still have one more full moon that's coming in December. So this isn't the last full moon, but the Gemini full moon today is really guiding us to start thinking about what we are not taking into this new year. What are we ready to let go, to purge, like the leaf that lets go of the tree or the tree that lets go of the leaf? There's 2 sides of that equation. So what has become too heavy to carry? What has felt like a burden? What has been taking up too much space, too much time, too much of your resources that your body is just saying no to? So it's really time to start not just thinking about letting go, but actually doing the clearing work, clearing the fucking clutter. Clear the fucking clutter. I think that's my mantra for this season, this month, but also like just this year, this like the unsaid mantra of this year that has really come up online, like very clear toward the end of this year. And for so many of the people that I'm supporting, there is so much that we're carrying that we don't need to carry. And how can we move forward into this new chapter, into this new line of the major arcana, right? Into the new year, this 2024, where there's a lot of big shifts happening with 2024, with more grace and ease and alignment and fulfillment and spaciousness and choosing you. Like, let go of the baggage. This year, 2023, has been such a big choice point year. There were so many points of the year with the astrology where it was like, what are you going to choose now? Fear or love? Contraction or expansion? This or that? What I'm really getting moving into the end of this year and into the next year and with Sagittarius season is, what timeline are you choosing? This is another thing that's come up in my own personal experience, and there was a recent reading again inside of our Akashic Q&A group call with a particular client, this talk about timelines and feeling like you're kind of almost stuck between timelines. So if you can imagine, the way that I had experienced it was each timeline that you are on is a trajectory to a particular destination, but it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, right? But with every choice you make, because it's all about your will, your free will, you choose which timeline you are on. Your belief patterns are also kind of set points, coordination points that have you go moving on a particular timeline, which is why it's so important and critical to do belief work, to work on the unconscious and subconscious realms. Because so much of our reality and choices are made, most of, like, percentage wise, I don't know what it is, like 80 to 90%, right, of our experience is actually directed by our unconscious, subconscious programmings. So you're on this particular train track, which is your timeline or destiny line. And you feel like, you know what, I'm changing certain things. I'm like shifting the unconscious, I'm doing this shadow work, and I feel like I'm shifting timelines. So you might feel like you have one foot in one timeline, but then you have another foot that's stuck in the train tracks of this old timeline that is no longer aligned, that's no longer for your quote highest good. It's no longer taking you to where you need to go, or at least has the experiences that you want and need to experience. You could also be experiencing multiple timelines through multidimensionality. And this is what came through in one of the readings, and I have experienced this with other people as well. There are certain individuals that are more acutely sensitive to this, and it can happen in particular times of your life, but we are multidimensional beings. And you could say, like, if you're talking in quantum speak, there are different planes or planes of existence. And we have our larger oversoul, but that could be fragmented into different expressions. And that can be in different dimensions or frequencies or whatever you want to call it, and different timelines. You can experience in certain moments a almost blending or mixing of this multidimensional experience, which could be kind of jarring and confusing, because you could be on the one hand feeling like, man, I'm feeling like I'm really in line, I'm moving toward my goals, or I feel like I'm on my highest path, I'm feeling joy, I'm feeling inspired. But then there are these moments, or almost like I switch into this fear and anxiety and like old programming. So it's this oscillation. And you can also have multiplicity with that experience. So maybe it's not just those two, but there's like multiple experiences, multiple timelines. And sometimes that can feel like, even I feel like I'm kind of going crazy, or I have multiple personalities, or like, what is the truth? And what I was shown about this, so there's different ways that you can experience this and different reasons. I just gave a couple. One, with the train tracks, where you feel like you're kind of stuck in an old one, even though you're meant to move another one, or you're like half your body or one foot is in another one in a higher timeline, the one that you want to be on, is that there's more work to do in the old with old timelines. So there's probably still some belief work. Maybe there's some body stuff that needs to be released. Maybe there are some cords, relational patterns that need to be addressed, and decisions that need to be made, like fully, full on. So that's one part of that. If you're experiencing this more multidimensionality, where like it's your various versions of yourself, it's really about calling in to the experience that you want to experience, like the one that feels like the highest version of yourself, and bringing your attention and focus to that. So it's almost like calling in your energy and your attention. And there's many different ways that you could do that. But I think something like a meditation practice, bringing conscious awareness and presence, any kind of practice that does that, connecting in with nature, connecting in with the physical, material, earthly realm can be really helpful, because a lot of times it's about needing to ground. I have seen that a lot of times that multidimensional experience can happen for people who have experienced less grounding for whatever reason. Maybe there are some big changes and shifts that sort of just like blow them out, like out of a grounded or rooted state. Maybe naturally by their design, they just have like a lot more air, water, and not as much earth. That's my experience. Or it could be like even travel, extensive travel can get you out of that sort of like grounded experience. And of course, like if, you know, you're doing extra things like a lot of spiritual awakening practices and work, you're doing lots of psychedelics or drugs, like that absolutely can take you into more of those like less enjoyable, jarring, multidimensional experiences. So that's just something to keep note. And there's always a way to sort of like bring back your energy. And I feel like that's really, really important in this time, because it's all about what timeline are you choosing? And we have to utilize our will and our consciousness to do so, to claim, to put our stake in the ground, so to speak. Gemini is represented by the twins. So there could be, again, that feeling of like doubling up, that you are this earth being, but you're also this multidimensional, infinite, timeless soul, this spirit. And honoring that. So honoring that we have this multidimensional experience, but it doesn't have to be jarring. So what are the ways for you to bring some groundedness and rootedness to this experience in this, like with the Gemini full moon, and honor, bringing practices or ways of honoring your soul as well as your physicality, your body, and your nervous system in particular. So Gemini is ruled by the planet Mercury, the planet of communication, planet of words, of movement, Mercury being the god that is the messenger and can traverse realms between the gods and humans and the earthly realm. So there's also this piece around looking at your mind and your thoughts and the words that you're using is really important. So bringing awareness to that as well. Like I said before, we had Mars at play. So a lot of this planetary energy combined gives us a fiery full moon. There is Mars and Lilith. Lilith being sort of like this dark feminine energy that's coming through, also very much about freedom and uncompromising in that with like natural law. So these are very strong forces that can bring a lot of charge. And then we have Saturn. And Saturn is squaring the full moon and sun and Mars. And Saturn is the planet of karma. It's the taskmaster. It's the master teacher. It's very active under this full moon. So it's also the planet of limitation and constriction. So this can look in regards to your body, and we'll look at that in a moment, but also rules and regulations. So we could see this as it pertains to legalities and freedom. So restrictions and rules around freedom of travel or movement or free speech when we're talking about communication and Gemini. There's also Saturn is in Pisces until February of 2026. So there's a play here with water, like potential issues around water or control and limitations around water. One thing with Saturn that we can take away is that Saturn always reminds us about the importance of boundaries, like getting things in order to move into our highest timeline. And that typically includes looking after our health, our body, our well-being. So that's something here that I think is really important to remind ourselves, especially as it pertains to the nervous system, especially in connection with Mercury and Gemini, which we're going to cover in just a moment. One of the last things I want to mention in terms of the astrology is that Mercury here is conjunct, which means it's like right up next to the galactic center. The galactic center sits at 27 degrees of Sagittarius. I've talked about it before. This is something that's very personal for me, as I have Neptune right there at the galactic center. So that brings a certain energy for me. But I encourage you to look at, is there anything in your natal chart that's in connection with galactic center, any kind of aspects, oppositions or conjunctions or whatever, squares? But the galactic center is this center of the galaxy. It's this our broader family, this cosmic pulsating point of energy. You could say, it is said that the raw crystalline plasma that comes from the galactic center is what our world is created from. And we can tap into almost like the galactic mind and frequency energy here as well. And so when we think about this talk of creation of the new earth or a new world and what we are meant to do here as beings, as builders and bridgers, which I recommend you check out the Akashic reading on that, that I released not too long ago on the podcast. So I'll make sure to link up all this stuff in the show notes. The galactic center has a lot to do with that. And Mercury sitting right up next to the galactic center, like it's at 24 degrees of Sagittarius. There's something here about tapping into the mind of the galactic forces and being able to channel in through our words, literally create our new world, like on a personal level, but also collectively the new world and new earth through our words and our mind and our thoughts. So like being really impeccable with our words, with our thoughts, and doing a lot of the work to clean up that clutter, which I think is probably one of the most important work that we could be doing collectively. So as I said, Gemini is really offering us choices here, this Gemini full moon. What timeline are you choosing? What state are you in? What words are you choosing to use? It's calling us to step into alignment, but through our choices and through the mind and through our nervous system, which is so, so critical. Like their nervous system is basically the bridge between the unseen and the seen realms, the unmanifest and non-physical and the physical realm. There are so many different systems, sciences that connect in with this that really demonstrate not just our reality, but our physical experience here on Earth, and especially as it pertains to health, is so linked with our nervous system and our perception. So becoming aware of our thinking, of our psyche and perception and our emotions is critical. So literally, I believe, is like one of the most important work that we can do as material beings, like spiritual beings of the physical body. We could see this with psychoneuroimmunology. We see this with German new medicine or Germanic healing knowledge. We see this with brain retraining, somatic work, TMS journaling processes, contemplation. All of these, like each one of those literally can be multiple podcast episodes, and I plan on doing more on each of those systems and sciences because they're so profound that those have been, in all of my years of diving deep into a lot of this work, trying it on for myself, working with various clients, creating programming, working especially with chronic illness, we cannot turn a blind eye to the power of our psyche, our perception, our emotions, and thinking as it relates to the manifestation of symptoms and our lived experience in the physical realm, period. Whatever kind of nervous system work, brain work, emotional work that suits your fancy, do it, because all of it is going to be really supportive. I'm actually going to have on a special guest in January. I know you have to wait that long. I'm so sorry. It's going to be a really profound episode. It's all around healing chronic illness. And I'm really, really excited to share it with you because it integrates all of these things that I have come to understand to be real game changers. And obviously, I'm not even including here like the energetic and spiritual support and the medicine that absolutely is important in healing. But what I have found is that you could do all of that work, but if you don't get your nervous system on point, which is the bridge, it's going to be like going up a mountain, an uphill battle. So that's how important supporting the nervous system is, especially in this time when it's just bombarded with so many assaults. There is an amazing book. There's so many amazing books, obviously, but one that stands out is The Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert. This was released a long time ago, but she talks about how each emotion produces a neuropeptide and how we can become addicted to that neuropeptide. So yes, you become addicted to certain emotions, even the ones that you don't want to experience from like your conscious mind. You're like, I don't want to experience fear. I don't want to experience depression. I don't want to experience these lower vibe emotions. But yet like I keep experiencing them. And there is an addictive, like a physical addictive quality to them and a process that occurs biochemically. Now, of course, that biochemical expression is the physical expression and manifestation of something that's happening more on like a spiritual and energetic realm. But it's something that we can, with the tools that are available currently, can measure. So that's why it's so profound, because people can actually see, I'm addicted. My body is addicted to being in a particular state because it is known. It's part of a programming. So the work is to begin to shift that. And a lot of it is around rewiring and restoring and nourishing the brain and the nervous system. And of course, reorienting our perception. And I'm excited to share in that episode with my interview guest some ways that you can do that. But there's so much that you can be doing that I've already shared in so many other episodes that can be supportive for that. Now, let's tap into Gemini energy here and some of the herbal astrology themes and specific plant allies that can be helpful. So Gemini, like I mentioned, is an air sign. It's mutable. Planet Mercury is the ruler. And the tissue state, so this is the, according to the energetic system of traditional Western herbalism, we look at tissue, various tissue states. The tissue state that corresponds to Gemini is tension, tense, constriction. So think about the nervous system, how often like we can tense up and how prolonged tension leads to a cascade of symptoms and especially pain. So the body systems connected in with Gemini, I already mentioned the nervous system. So obviously the nervous system and nerves, but also the arms, the hands, the shoulders, fingers, and the lungs. So breathing and how connected breathing is with the nervous system. We also see other parts of the body being connected to Gemini as well. We're not going to cover those as much because I think these are the really biggies that we want to bring our attention to in this time. If we have imbalances in these areas, this can manifest as nervous system disorders, chronic fatigue. I mean, literally, it could lead to anything, because anything that has the nervous system imbalance is going to lead to a cascade of other symptoms that are systemic and all over the place and don't seem really connected necessarily to Gemini, but ultimately are connected to the nervous system. So that's why this is so important. But we also see diseases or challenges with the lungs, like bronchial issues and asthma and just breathing issues in general. Maybe some pinched nerves or tension, like stiff back, stiff shoulders. We can have certain sensory issues too, like damage to the nerves or the sensory receptors, and any issues or injuries with the hands, the arms, the fingers, the shoulders, all of that fun stuff. In tuning into some supportive, I mean, there's so many amazing herbs that are supportive for the nervous system. Some of my favorite herbs in connection with Gemini include oats, Vena sativa, in any and all ways. I'm a huge fan of oats for the nervous system. So milky oats, milky oat tinctures, milky oats as a tea infusion. Oat straw, that's one of my favorite deep infusions, is oat straw with alfalfa, nettle. It's just so nourishing. It's drinking like a multi-mineral and soothing for the nerves. Also with this season, peppermint. Sprinkling a little bit of peppermint in your various teas or hot chocolates. And skullcap being such a beautiful ally. I have mentioned skullcap in previous episodes with In Connection with Gemini as a wonderful nervine and nervous system trophorestorative. It's really helpful under the effects of chronic stress, both mental and digestive stress. So often when there's GI, gastrointestinal imbalance, we see digestive stress and it leads to systemic stress. Skullcap has an ability to work on directly restoring and relaxing the nerves. Our parasympathetic nervous system becomes less stimulated and our sympathetic nervous system becomes less inhibited. So skullcap can be helpful in relaxing overly tense and frayed nerves so that your body can repair nervous system tonality and enter more of a normalized parasympathetic state. If you're a regular listener, you know I like to tune into oracle decks, and in this case, the Herbal Astrology Oracle Deck by Adriana Ayales from Anima Mundi. It's one of my favorites. It's so beautiful. And I shuffled the deck and I asked which plants want to show up as allies or guides for us today, whether or not they're directly connected to Gemini or Mercury. Because of course, we do have plants that are ruled by Mercury, which I have mentioned in the past. So if you're interested in those, you can tune into past episodes where I talk about Gemini. For this episode, we had two cards that popped up. A plant ally that came through the card, the Oracle deck, that is ruled by the moon, which makes sense for this full moon, and also Mars, which, as I mentioned, Mars continues to play a prominent role with this fire. So I think here, you know, the lesson is maybe it's not necessarily so much about bringing in specific mercurial or Gemini herbs, but what are the herbs that are going to be supportive as it pertains to maybe some of the more challenging energetics with this full moon in this time? So the first is milk thistle. And milk thistle, in connection with the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck, is represented by the peaceful warrior. And how perfect is that with all that I had mentioned about Mars, right? Now, when we look at milk thistle more from a clinical herbalism perspective, milk thistle is considered an alterative. So milk thistle is a remedy for the blood and the liver. It's clearing and cleaning and giving renewed strength to these organs and to the blood. It assists in regulating the metabolic functions of the body through detoxification. It's also a cholagogue or a choleretic. So choleretics are substances that increase bile production, so bile coming in from produced in the liver, but then stored in the gallbladder. So it increases bile production of the hepatocytes in the liver. And cholagogues assist in the direct secretion of the bile from the gallbladder into the small intestine. I feel like I need to make a whole podcast episode on bile and the importance of bile, like from an energetic and spiritual perspective as well. So critical physically. And milk thistle is incredibly supportive in its ability to increase that biliary excretion and clearing and cleansing that region and like the body through the movement of the bile. It's also a demulcent, so it has a moistening quality and it can help with the moisture and hydration of the cells and the tissues and the body. It's also a galactagogue. So a galactagogue is an herb that's used to stimulate milk flow for nursing mothers. So breast milk, increased supply of breast milk. It's bitter. It's a bitter tonic. And that usually we see bitter herbs are really supportive for the liver and gallbladder in general and for digestion. It also has a sweetness. Milk thistle has a sweetness and a gentleness. And that is an indication that it's highly nutritive. It's a nutritive tonic for the liver, which is really makes this a renowned plant in support of the liver. It's very protective and restorative for the liver. It's also a really safe herb. So, you know, if you're feeling like questions around utilizing milk thistle, there aren't too many contraindications. So it's highly, highly beneficial for a lot of cases where there might be some challenges with the liver and gallbladder. But the thing that I love about this as well is when we tune into the energetic and spiritual qualities of milk thistle, this peaceful warrior that is indicated through the herbal astrology oracle deck, there's a quality here of bringing healing through the care of mother's milk. So very protective. The thistle itself, you know, if you're familiar with thistles, they are inherently protective for the plant. And so the thistle fibers have been utilized as protection agents. So you can protect against spells. It's been used in magical tools to break negative spells or melancholy, evil hexes, curses, etc. It has also been used to ward off parasitic energies, and it's said to revitalize energy and bring strength and renewal to spirits. It's also very much like, I want to say, this mother bear kind of energy that can be aggressive when fucked with, but it's like a true healer. So going forward, like that mother who is protecting her child, so incredibly protective, but also a heart-centered healer that is supporting the body in all these different ways. That kind of warrior energy is that's what's connected in with Mars and that courage to protect. But the moon is also connected in with milk thistle, as I mentioned before, in its galactagogue qualities. So it's an assistance in milk production. So that delivering of nutrients and nurturance and love through our first food, mother's milk. So here it's said that milk thistle not only supports with the liver, which, by the way, in TCM, issues with the liver and any kind of challenges with the liver are very much connected with anger. Here, anger, fire, that's Mars quality. So here, milk thistle is also an antidote to that, you could say, excessive fire and anger that can come with Mars. And instead of the righteous and out of line violent warrior, we have the peaceful warrior that can dispel damaging and destructive thoughts and beliefs and fear. And yes, of course, anger. I wanted to read a quote directly from the Herbal Astrology Oracle guidebook that I think really brings it all full circle. And that is, like the peaceful warrior, set your boundaries firmly and fearlessly. Like badger, which in this guidebook, they place badger as sort of an animal representation of the spirit of milk thistle. Like badger, milk thistle shakes up systems that hinder innovation and halts patterns and behaviors that stunt growth. Know that what you are not changing, you are choosing. So again, all around choice point, your level of consciousness, your perception, but also how you show up with all of that being taken into account. Another card that flew out alongside milk thistle that I just have to mention, even though it's not directly correlated with Mercury or Gemini, But it's obviously something that I'm very passionate about, that I talk about all the time, that this entire podcast is really about and my work. And that is Blue Lotus representing intuition. So Blue Lotus in the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck is connected to intuitive knowing, the subconscious realms, the mystery, the great mystery, dreaming, dream work, and initiation. The sacred and mystical flower, water lily, the Blue Lotus, was regarded as the flower of enlightenment. And it's included in many different scriptures and mythological creation stories. We see it used in religious rites and ceremonies in different parts of the world. It's probably most famously connected to the Egyptian mysteries and the sun god Ra. So the ruler of Blue Lotus, according to this deck, is the sun and the moon. But what's interesting here is Blue Lotus is also very supportive for the nervous system. It's an antispasmodic and it's a relaxant. Those are the moon-like qualities with this card. And I feel like our nervous system does really well with moon-related plants and allies. The moon portion of Blue Lotus also brings in a sense of relief with stress. So there's some stress relief that comes with this plant. There's also pain relief that can come with this plant too. But then there's also this more young, euphoric, blissful type of energy that is connected to the sun and also connected to lucid awareness. So Blue Lotus represents this doorway and mediator into the world of gods. And really, that's what Mercury is, right? It's the messenger and the mediator between worlds. And so is our nervous system and our intuition. So I thought it was so perfect that Blue Lotus wanted to pop into our discussion today for Gemini, for Gemini's moon, and our talk on supporting the nervous system. Because it's not just about the traditional nervines that we might discuss when it comes to supporting the nervous system and Gemini-related challenges. But it's also remembering that tapping into our own intuitive knowing and inner knowledge connects us to greater wisdom, and it translates through our body. Literally, our body, our nervous system, our brain shifts when we begin to expand our intuition and intuitive knowing. There's also so much importance that intuition has in terms of its role that it plays in cultivating a more beautiful world, we know to be true. Blue Lotus, in particular, is a water lily that sprouts and grows from muddy waters, the depth of the muddy waters. So the lotus rises from those and blossoms into this beautiful, majestic flower that has so many powers. And we can see how the process of blooming into our own intuitive power and ourselves from the depths of the muddy waters is something that we are invited to do here on Earth School. And also invited to remember when we are faced with muddiness or the muddy waters of life. That is fertile ground for us to bloom into greater trust, bloom into belief in ourselves and mystery and the more than human world, the unseen realms, God, source, creator, and to surrender in a way to the wisdom that lies within the unseen and our intuition and the guardians of the mystery as we move through the darkness. So thank you, Blue Lotus, for popping in to our conversation today. I was called to pull a tarot card for the final message that our guides have for us in regards to this Gemini moon and this lunation this season. And we got the Five of Wands. The Wands are ruled by the element of fire. So here we already talked about all the fire energy we got. It's been kind of a theme rolling, but now that we're full on in Sagittarius season, we're feeling it in a different way, different level. It's hitting different, right? And then with Mars really active, we might feel this expression of fire in a lot of different ways showing up. The Wands rule over our energy, our action. It's about action. It rules over our adrenals. So talking about stress and the stress response, it's also about how we move in this world and how we grow. I connect them often too with creativity and the creative life force of fire itself. Fives are typically cards of contraction. You know, we have several different cards like this inside the deck. We can't always be in positive expansion and growth and on the upswing. There must be that counterpart. And just like with contractions in birthing, we have those feelings of, right, where we are brought in. Something brings us to our knees. The Five of Wands can come up in a lot of different ways in a particular reading. What I'm getting with this, you know, and this is really interesting because I feel like the Five of Wands can often be connected with anger itself. So as on this topic of anger, what we're talking about, anger and Mars, that energy, we absolutely are feeling that. This season, we are seeing this globally. You might be experiencing it in your own life personally. And so it's kind of like this acknowledgement of straight up, we might be mad. You might be mad. And that's okay. Anger is sacred. There is a medicinal quality to anger. And anger also mobilizes us. Anger brings us to movement. You know, so often in a stressed state, we can be stuck or in a freeze, frozen state. And anger is one of those fiery, mobilizing emotions that can move us out of that. So acknowledging the anger, and maybe you don't even know how angry you are because you haven't quite given it the spaciousness that it needs for that fire to breathe. So maybe bringing awareness to, are you holding anger? Are you feeling it? Where is it in your body? Can you express your anger in a healthy way that is supportive for you and maybe for others? This card, the Five of Wands, can also be connected in with the, what we could say, messy middle, the messy middle moments with creativity. So again, with this fire energy, I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of this in terms of like physical clearing and reorganization and structuring. I think Lindsay Mack has called this card of medicinal messiness, which I really, really love because it's about acknowledging that when we are in a state just before that expansive state, because remember the fives are a contractive card, but they're leading into expansion, which the sixes often bring more expansive energy. When we're in this state of potential expansion, we're on the threshold. So maybe we're in active creation mode, ideation, imagination, envisioning. It hasn't quite happened yet because we need to get shit in order. And in order to get shit in order and organized, very often it gets messy first. We got to get messy. We have to take out all the things from all the corners and under the bed and out of the closet, right? So to speak. And maybe like as it relates to the land, like just bringing everything out so that we can see it and we understand what we are working with. and it could feel messy and it could feel disorienting. Depending on how you relate to that, it might get you in sort of this like frozen state, and that's okay. Maybe be there for a little bit, right? Like we might feel stuck in this, but if you can zoom out and look at the greater picture and look at the mess from a bird's eye view, knowing that this is part, one point of this larger journey, and that the next phase of this is expansion, is clearing, is creation, then we can get excited about this mess. We can also see this on the global stage. Shit is getting messy, and it has been doing so. Like when it's on a global level, it's not going to be just a few months or a year. Like there is so much that is unearthing that has been embedded in the roots of systems that are problematic, beliefs and dogmatism, all of those things that we've mentioned. All of that needs to come to the surface to be looked at. All of the gross and horrific and things that we don't want to see. Well, that needs to come to the realms of visibility in order to be dealt with and alchemized. So that is what I feel is part of the medicine that Five of Wands brings. That as hard as it can feel, as upset or cranky as you might feel, or as pissed as you might experience this, know that we are in a mess. You are in a mess, and it's okay. It's okay that it's messy. And it's a signal that you are moving into deeper and greater alignment. So I'm loving this message for myself. I hope that that message lands for you wherever you are in your own life, dealing with your own mess. And of course, I'd love to hear how any and all of this resonates with you. You can reach me over on Instagram. I'm at Wildly Rooted. And you can also leave a rating and review. I love reading those. It gives me very good information and an insight into what is really helpful and supportive for you, and also what is not. But I'd love to hear if you're loving this. Please leave a rating and review. That helps us so much over on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. All right, my lovelies. Well, I am sending you big full moon blessings, all the Gemini love and support for your nervous system. Hoping this podcast episode nourishes you in some way. Be well, and until next time.